You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, in the first segment, we got Handshake Gate, the non-handshake heard round the world.
Oh, yeah.
And also, there's people claiming that they're gully out here. There's people all over England flying around claiming that they're gully, and we have to really determine how gully they actually are.
We're about to mask on, mask off, see if they're really that gully.
And in the U.S. men's national team rosters are out. And, oh boy, Alexis is angry.
Oh, always. In the second segment, we talked to Aaron Dolores, right? Because he's not Latino, of Black Arrow FC. They've got this cool documentary that's out right now while you're listening to this on their YouTube channel. But he's stopping in. We're going to show you. We're going to play a clip for you. We're going to talk to him a little bit about what exactly Black Arrow is and why do they throw the dopest parties.
Exactly.
All that this. And more on this episode of the Cooligans.
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Hey, everybody, real quick, we just want to break into the show to mention the winner of the FIFA 19 retweet contest.
That's right. I know people here, maybe you're listening to the show for the first time. Maybe this is how you found out about us. But this should be your favorite podcast going forward. But we did want to announce who won the FIFA 19 giveaway.
Really excited to give this away.
That's right.
We got a very big Timbers fan here.
Timbers?
Yeah, RCTID.
Oh, okay, cool. For whatever reason, I'm looking at the profile and I see a Sounders kit up there.
Well, what his banner is actually Trump in a Sounders kit and Obama in a Timbers kit. So
okay, so I think we know where he lies.
I think, yeah.
I don't know. Where does he lie? Yeah,
well, he was at Desert Corp, so I think he's been in the armed forces. Okay. Dog enthusiast, Mount Bachelor Brigade, travel manager.
That's his bio. Okay.
But come on, but he's from Arizona. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner is Colin, also known as at Cascadia Colin.
Cascadia Colin, congratulations for winning FIFA 19. Hit us up, soccercooligans@gmail.com, if you want to let us know which...
How to
get it to you and which system, what platform you want it for. Please do that. So congratulations if for whatever reason you don't. Maybe you don't listen to this podcast. Maybe you didn't hear this.
Maybe you just saw this on your feed and were like, I'll retweet it.
But we will make sure we contact you.
But you follow us. So make sure you shoot us an email, soccercooligans@gmail.com. Let us know you. We'll figure out a way for you to prove that. And we'll send you the game. Congrats.
All right. Congratulations, Cascadia Colin. And one other thing I did want to, especially speaking of Portland, because a correction from last week, because we were talking about the NWSL final and we were talking about the player on North Carolina Courage who
was getting booed because of her anti-gay.
Anti-gay. And when we said that it was...
Well, you said.
We said.
Yeah.
No, taken a lot of crap.
Now the rules work for now. Now all of a sudden I'm right.
But I did say Lynn Williams was the one that was getting booed. It was not Lynn Williams. It was Jaylene Hinkle.
Yes.
So I wanted to amend because we want to be accurate with who we're booing.
We're sorry.
And who we are apologized. All apologies to Lynn Williams. You are a great human being. Now your teammate, Jaylene Hinkle...
She got something to work on. She got some stuff.
She got a couple issues that she needs to sort out.
All right, now let's get to the show. Yeah, baby.
Hello. Welcome back. Hello, okay. It's still Hispanic Heritage Month
for the next 8 months.
Okay, it's not ended. Thank you so much. I like that we're this Hispanic Heritage Month has been a little bit more special than past Hispanic Heritage Months.
Absolutely,
that spanned 2 months. You know what I mean? So just because I feel like as a Latino. Right.
Are you? Oh, wow.
I sound pretty Jewish, I know, but...
I think our fans have never heard us speak of being Latino before.
No, but I feel like the more we put it out into the world, then more people are like, oh, cool, I like that you guys are that, and talking about that, and talking about it
again. We got,
in this way.
We got people in North Ireland saying Dímelo, Enrique. We're changing the world.
Okay, all right. We're spreading the good message of Dominican slang.
We got Dominicans scoring in Spain and not the way they normally would. would with other people's girlfriends.
Exactly.
This is actually, we're letting the Argentinians do that in
Atlanta.
All
right, you don't have to throw Dominicans under the bus that hard, man.
Are you kidding me? If there was a mattress under the bus, they'd all be under there.
All right. We're perfectly monogamous if we choose to be.
If you choose to be. It goes against the culture, but nonetheless. And by the way,
there's a lot of pressure,
uncles,
machismo, and a lot of stuff. You only have one girlfriend? Well, you're basically gay, you know? It's a very tough culture.
You lock it up, go to the farm. And shouts to us for coming up with DR7. How did no one come up with that?
I don't know. I mean, they really dropped the ball. They really dropped the ball, the Spanish media.
DR7. That is the greatest nickname of all time. We got to find a way to get that information to him.
Okay, cool. I'll relay it through one of his 18 girlfriends.
Yeah. See? Or maybe one of their husbands.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to... This is a soccer podcast.
We swear it is.
We haven't even mentioned the word once. We are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians who host a soccer podcast. It is not only the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever heard of.
It is the funniest soccer podcast that they've ever heard of, for sure.
It is. It's not only. It's not exclusively.
No, it's more than that, but it 100% certainly is
okay,
that.
Okay, we are multi-dimensional.
Yeah. We're also multi-Dominican. It's a very...
we're layered, all right?
We're like an onion.
Okay, it's tres leches.
Yes, that's right.
Here.
We're like cuatro leches, you know, when they put that funky stuff on the top. Or maybe sometimes mango in there. Now we're talking. Well, we're not just the funniest soccer podcast. We also happen to be the gulliest soccer
podcast.
That's
right. We keep it real all day. Gang, gang.
Bang, bang.
So, I'm excited about today. You were just in Atlanta.
As you can tell.
I suck at home.
Yeah.
You were there for the Red Clay Comedy Festival. How did that go, Alexis?
Red Clay Comedy Festival was amazing. Thank you to all the fans that showed up. Atlanta United was a sponsor of the festival this year.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. By the way, I don't even think they needed to do anything. Their flags are everywhere anyway.
People already have tattoos on their body. They are already a marketing campaign for the team.
The city of Atlanta is sponsored by Atlanta United already. So the festival was just like, why don't we just... I don't know, focus on the one flag that they can see here as opposed to the 17 other behind. So they gave all the headliners, which I was not one of, Janine Garofalo, Joe DeRosa, and Ron Funches. Joe DeRosa recorded his album there. It's going to be great. It's a really cool. Did it at the Earl over in East Atlanta Village.
Okay, yeah, I remember
so they
that.
Gave the three of them a cool little gift pack, which you see here, and one of the King Peach jerseys with their names on the back.
Yeah.
Right? And when they found out that I was going... They gave me one, too.
Look at that.
How awesome is that?
Thank you so much, Atlanta United.
Atlanta United.
Pretty cool of them.
By the way, let me just say this.
Go for it.
You and I have been season ticket holders and fans of a very specific team here in New York City, the only one that plays within the five boroughs of New York City. Let me say this. We have had to sit there as our friends have been invited to the owner's box and been given customized jerseys.
That's true. Well, we were invited once to the box. Remember, we watched the FC Dallas game a year ago.
By a front office person, not by the team. Okay,
which we took great advantage of,
and thank you very much.
Yeah, that was great, too.
So. It was awesome. Better way to watch them with the fans. I mean, you sit down, there's free food. You know, honestly, I love the supporters section, but
I actually prefer the supporter section.
I mean, maybe I'm just a little bit fancier than you. You know what I mean? But my point is, we've had to sit there as our friends, Jermaine Fowler and Andrew Schultz and Christy Stefano and a couple more
other comedians. Yeah.
Sat there and they got their customized jersey with their name on the back. And I'm like, man, that's awesome. These people that probably didn't even watch the game, know nothing about soccer, got invited because I don't know, maybe there's a little bit of social media buzz, but us, who are pushing this game forward and working to market
it. I'm your pusher. That's us.
We out here grinding and nothing.
Hold on a second.
We get asked to do some stuff recently. That's pretty cool.
Okay.
Right? It went a little viral, which is pretty dope. Oh, that's cool. All I'm saying is a team we have no affiliation with recognizes our talent. And hits us up with a jersey.
All right, Alexis, this is... Okay, clearly you're a little offended, but I'm not
offended.
I'm not,
just saying, let's put it all out. Let's put all our cards on the table.
Do we need to pull it all out?
I'm not trying to be Louis C.K. I'm just saying here, a team that we have no affiliation with.
Okay. Look, these are facts. They are facts. I'm just saying. Look, I'm a fan of the team, and I just want to support. I'm not expecting anything. So
me neither. I'm just saying. Look, now that it's here,
it's just that when other teams show acknowledgement, it just seems a little odd, right?
That's all I'm saying.
But it's fine. I don't want to feel. I don't want anyone.
As soon as I got it, I'm like, yo, this is really cool. I wish this was a jersey of a team I supported.
It's almost like if you get a gift and then it's like, well, you know, I asked my dad for this as well. And he didn't. Yeah. And it's just like, are you my dad?
Imagine being a kid and the neighbor or family gets you better Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I mean, I guess I got to live here now. You know? I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
I guess I'm done with this family.
I mean, I can't take this PlayStation plug it in over there. I got to keep it here. So I'm going to be spending more of my time here.
So, okay, I'm glad you did have a good time, though.
I had a great time. Thank you to Atlanta United. By the way, we're going to be giving this away. We got to figure out how we're going to give it away.
Well,
I'm keeping the jersey for sure. But we got magnets.
Has your name on it.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to put that up on our studio when we officially have one. But, you know, we got the little flag over there. We got the cup. We got the two koozies, which I saw people actually use for the first time in my life. We got magnet stickers.
You never seen anybody use a koozie?
No, I never actually. I've seen koozies before. People have handed it to me. I'm like, thank you so much. Right in the garbage.
Toss it right in the trash.
Look at this squishy thing I'm going to throw in the garbage. This is really cool. And we got this little Atlanta United bag. So if you want to win this, we'll figure it out. Maybe we'll do the funniest review that people leave on our
okay, sure, yes. And so, and speaking of that, before I get to the review,
it's almost like I'm a professional.
I mean, it's like, almost.
Not exactly.
But did you hear, speaking of Atlanta, did you hear that they officially voted to take that? There was an avenue called Confederate Avenue, and they are removing it, and it's going to be changed to United Avenue now.
Beautiful.
So apparently, I saw this. I forgot. One of the guys who tweeted this. The guys on 92.3, I think. 92.9.
The game,
right? The one of the
which we were on.
Jason Longshore. I forgot the other guy's name. Mike something. I hate that I forgot. But he tweeted that at some point there's going to be an intersection between Atlanta, like Atlanta Street and United Avenue. So Atlanta United literally is sponsoring.
Yeah, it's 100% sponsored.
There's going to be Joseph Martinez Way and Julian Gressel Drive at some point. So forget all the other street names. They're going to be taken over. The Atlanta Falcons are going to be an afterthought of that city.
Like, oh, you hear we're getting a Shake Shack. Yeah, they opened it at Joseph Staring at the Fan Street.
So it's only a matter of time, everybody. So speaking of reviews, it's always very helpful when people leave us great iTunes reviews, 5 stars.
Oh, it's the best.
Helps more people hear about the show. We've been getting some really, really fun ones just recently. And I wanted to read one. This one's very, I'm going to read two, but this one is very, very concise, but to the point and speaks directly to anyone who might be interested in this show or what this show is about.
Should I or should I not? This answers
this
it.
This is the answer. So this is from Cole D. Robeson.
Great medicine, by the way. Whenever you have chest cold, get yourself some cold Robeson.
Get me the Robeson. So he goes, it's from Cold Robeson, and just 5 stars. And the title of the review is just says my, just the word M-Y, just my.
My.
And then the subject, the you know, the description of the review just says guy. My guy, Goldie Rosen,
you're the gulliest review in a week.
That is just true to the point. I mean, if anybody's like, hey, should I check out the soccer podcast? What does Cody Robeson think?
Let me see what the most recent review is. Tip it, tap, 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 tap. Click. Oh, there it is. I got a weird modem. My guy. Yeah, I got to listen to that.
Okay, I'm going to check this one out. My guy. All right.
By the way, this review is going to make us the number one podcast listened to at Rikers Island. I mean, my guy. Oh, my guy. I got to listen to this.
And this one was our most recent one that was really, really fun. This is by L3E Live. And it says, great podcast. Very funny. 5 stars. And then the description says, if you enjoy soccer and laughing, then this podcast is for you. If you don't enjoy soccer or laughing, then you should go die in a hole somewhere dark with no friends and no one to remember you. Also, don't listen to this podcast. That's right.
Damn.
Because if you're dead, You're gonna have a tough time.
It's very difficult
subscribing to this show.
I know the waves go out. Well, I mean, we're not on radio, so the waves don't go on to the sky. But whatever, maybe you could download it in heaven or hell, wherever you're going. I thought that was just gonna be a long way of saying two guys wearing certain jackets.
Oh no. This, you know, people are catching on.
People know what's up.
I mean, it's written between the lines. You read between the lines.
You know what they mean.
you know what they're talking about.
That boredom. You know what I mean?
All right, so let's get to soccer. Let's get to the show. American soccer. It's really, look, I know
it's the, back, baby.
It's back, baby. Hey,
come on. You thought we were
all right.
Out?
It's sweep.
Here.
It's sweeps week in Major League Soccer.
We got to make it big.
So this is, I know there's we're all about drama. We love gossip.
Oh my God, this is
across, it doesn't matter, in sports, in it, keeping up with the Kardashians, it doesn't matter what it is. Kanye wearing a MAGA hat on SNL.
We know about it, we want to hear about it. If tea gets spilled, we're there, okay?
So, look, I know that right now, and I always try to pay attention to what's going on in the Premier League as far as like what's being talked about the most, right? And right now,
Arsenal's win streak, is that what you're talking about?
Their 1.5 game win streak? I don't even know.
It's either 4 or 5. I should know this.
So it seems to be Mourinho and Pogba.
Oh my God.
Who he looked at him, girl, what you know about?
Did you see the shade? Mourinho never gonna get a tan with shit like that.
So it kind of just describes what the culture is like of soccer in England, right? And it is very catty, and it sells papers for Mourinho to fail and Manchester United to not do well, right? There's a great story there. Is he going to get fired? Will he be sacked? Will he be not? All that stuff.
Will he or won't he?
So that seems to be, I feel like I'm getting to learn just about how the landscape is of how soccer is talked about, like at the pubs, okay? But we, in this country, and again, a lot of people do a disservice to American soccer in not getting to this train, not hopping on this train of drama, because we have...
People are so... Remember, the league recently was very anti, like, oh my God, don't do the memes.
Yeah.
Don't disrespect each other. And everyone's like, no, right in my veins. This is what we want.
Because... And shout out to Matt Doyle, because he also pointed this out as well. He's always been very supportive of us about like that contribution to the culture,
right?
where MLS should very much be, from a social media perspective, should be very similar to the NBA.
Yeah.
NBA Twitter is hot.
Whenever it's hot.
Somebody gets crossed over by James Harden, you all over. It's a meme in seconds.
And it's the teams doing it.
Sure.
And the players are talking about it.
They're adding like flames to the ball.
Yeah,
adding wacky sounds.
Mad disrespectful. And we love that.
So we had our own. And I think this was a big game and added an element where the 90 minutes were up, but we're still having way more fun. And of course I'm talking about Handshake Gate, between Chris Armas and Tata Martino.
This is Caribbean Latinos versus Argentinians.
Okay, now then, oh my God, Twitter was just nuts. It was just like, look at these typical Argentinians thinking they're better than the Bronx Puerto Rican.
And the dude's got the sweater.
Tata's got the sweater
over his shoulder. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't have asked for a more perfect, other than he had like a mate, you know?
Yeah.
And Chris Armas just has one of those boxes around his neck. He's trying to sell Cuchi Fritos. That's the only thing.
Just a basketball jersey that's a Puerto Rican flag.
Yes,
that's
mesh,
all you need.
Mesh.
All right, that's all we needed.
Does anyone validate for my Toyota Tercel?
But look, if you didn't watch the game, you missed a big game, right? The Rebels against Atlanta United.
I watched it with Footy Mob.
That's right. You were in there in Atlanta. I'm sure they expected a much different result.
Yeah, the mood was different than what you'd expect of watching. I know our guest today, Aaron, was like, oh, yo, send me a video and I'll post it on my Instagram.
Like,
and I was like, it's a little light right now. The mood's just a little low right now. I'm not sure I want to get a video of this exactly. You know.
So the game itself was great. 2-0, the Rebels. Rebels were absolutely dominant without Tyler Adams, without BWP. No one expected them to be this dominant for this game.
No.
And they were...
Including the people who didn't show up.
mean, well, look, again,
look, I know it's a running joke.
It's a running joke, yeah. But there it is. I think the attendance was like 20, somewhere around 22,000. That's pretty good.
That's great.
How much are we going to complain about that?
Like, it's just an easy joke.
Comparatively to Atlanta United, yes, it's bad because they're 70,000, you know, and they sell them out.
Make the seats red, guys. When they're blue, everyone can see when they're empty. Make all the seats red.
When it's red, why? What difference would it make if it was
no
red?
One's sitting in it, you really won't be able to tell because it looks like someone's wearing a jersey or something. It just looks so shocking on camera.
Okay, so
when you see a
Rebel
lot of
Arenas,
blue.
Spend the $2 million it will take to replace the color of the seats.
Or you could spend it on marketing. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying.
It's whatever. Okay. It's a little of a dumb.
Make the seats look like jerseys and make the bottom of the seat look like denim. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay. Now, all right. Now we're talking.
Are we talking?
Okay. Just a sweet pair of Calvin Klein jeans.
Get it sponsored. Yo, True Religion sponsoring the official seat bottoms of Red Bull Arena.
Or get one of those blow up sex dolls and sit them, put them all in the
just
seats.
Just a couple of real dolls.
With the big wide open mouth.
Yeah. You do not want to see the goal celebrations.
Okay, now we're thinking of how to fill this place.
No, I'm human. I was yawning. Get off me.
Anyway.
All right.
So, but the game itself was incredible, right? I was surprised how difficult of a time Atlanta United had just moving the ball through. And Chris Harmus.
When did they get their first shot on goal? Like 66th minute?
Dude, I don't even know who tweeted it. Somebody did. And the promo picture on ESPN Plus to rewatch the game was of Brady Wright Phillips and Joseph Martinez, and BWP didn't play the game.
So two people that didn't play the game.
So it was like, it's interesting. ESPN is promoting the game with two people who didn't play this game, which is Joseph Martinez was subbed off. I think in around the 70th minute, he barely touched the ball. Chris Armas, he was asked like how he was going to handle this game, and he said they're going to press.
He was like, "How many seats?"
Right, coño, he really. There's some phleminess with the double.
It's a guttural.
R.
It's a guttural R.
But he did say that he was going to make Atlanta United work for every single ball, every single challenge, and they very much struggled. It was surprising to see.
The Athletic has a great article about how just what the Rebels have been able to do, that they could take like superstars, Tyler Adams and BWP, out of their lineup and just plug and play.
Sure.
With people from the bench or the academy system and Rebel 2.
Well, the guy we were talking about, Brian White. Was played for BWP.
Yeah.
No, you were like, who the hell is this guy?
Nobody knows who he is. Nobody did. Now Atlanta fans know who he is. That's for sure.
He was very much a threat. And who replaced Tyler Adams? Mark Tchaikovsky.
Yeah.
And he did great as well.
The RZA.
Yeah. Not pronounced that way.
But how you spell his name.
But that's how you spell it. But the handshake. Or the non-handshake, right? Obviously, end of the game. The reports we're hearing was that Chris Armas, and this wasn't televised, but he was basically kind of grandstanding.
Oh, no. That was televised.
Oh, I didn't see that.
You could see that. He was sort of telling his fans to he was putting his hands up in the air, like, give us more energy, more loud, be louder, while sort of, he was kind of turning at the same time, but supposedly he stared down the Atlanta bench area and like the coaching staff towards the end of the game while he was doing it, which one, it's disrespectful, but then you got to grade it on a curb because the dude's from the Bronx and he's Puerto Rican. That's mad normal. You know what I mean?
Tata must not know about the Bronx curve rules and how we... he was actually being the most respectful to you by Bronx standards.
By Bronx standards? I mean, that guy was paying respect at your funeral. You know what I mean?
Okay, you want that man giving you a eulogy. That's how beautiful it was.
I mean, that's beautiful. That guy was, officiating your wedding, all right? So he was doing that, which I kind of get why that would be seen as disrespectful. Also, Tata, probably not happy with the game, the way the game turned out.
Sure.
So when he went in for the handshake, which was it was kind of like OD aggressive, the way he went in for the handshake, like, who bested you now?
And Tata, Armas, you think, okay.
Armas for real. You got to watch it. Tata went double hand double shoulder tap. Just the keep your hand right where the fuck it is. I don't give a shit. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
The back and forth, but I'm not picking sides. I just love all this. My favorite part, though, was right at the end. Armas gave him the old suck tooth face. Like sort of thumb throwback. It was like,
check out this guy.
I right believe here. This guy right here. Yeah. Don't give him his chopped cheese.
My first instinct was like a little classless from Tata. I thought it was not necessary to do it.
I think it was back and forth. I think he was responding to the way Chris Armas was acting. I don't know that either one. I mean, because of the, I mean, you put him in a weird position, right? If you're coming in grandstanding a little bit, what are you going to do? You got to shake his hand. I would personally shake his hand and pull him in a little bit. You know what I mean?
Just put Trump. Just
no, not like the yank. I bring him in a little bit and show him like, yo, you weak, son.
That's what you whisper. Tata's going to say, yo, you weak, son.
Imagine he said that. Like deadass. Deadass said that.
Deadass just straight up New York English.
Bruh. I've been to the Bronx, bruh. You're weak, my guy.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe Tata was the one who left the... And then Coldy Robinson is Tata's...
And then, yeah, then in the post game, he's just like, but you said, you know, no sé lo que dice.
Pero por qué... Yeah,
gets off the mic. Look, Mike.
That's how the mic's still on. I said, get the oh, pero porque es easy.
No, I think it was. I guess, I didn't see the grandstanding. Maybe I just looked away from the TV when that happened. But it was. I like that we're talking about this to begin with, because this is...
Has nothing to do with the 90. This is what's great about it. It's not the 90
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, this is good old fun, old gossip.
Yeah.
Being a little chatty Cathy's.
We spilling tea.
But this is a storyline that is as old as time, right? In England, in the Premier League, Mourinho and Pep, Mourinho and Wenger, are they going to shake hands?
Oh, he called them the something of failure, the minister of failure, something like that.
Yeah, there's something like that. I forgot what it was called. So I like that this is part of the discussion, because this is what soccer is about, right? It's not just... It's not just the 90. We're talking about, is he respectful? Is he not? Are they going to meet each other in the playoffs? I mean, what are those matches going to be like?
I would hope so, because that's going to be a great matchup.
Yeah. So
can Tata figure it out?
So it's pretty interesting. I had so much fun. As soon as it happened, I'm like, yes, nom, 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 give me more.
Why did we have to wait this long for all this action?
Oh, all this soccer stuff is getting in the way of all the real fun.
Just move it out of the way. All right, got this. Let's play 45, winner take all. Then let's see what happens between the coaches.
All right, we're going to try and have a little fun here. Who knows what this sort of means going forward? I know Atlanta United, they only have 1 point. They're only 1 point up against the Rebels, who are in second. And it's really that's basically it for the Supporter Shield. That no one else really has a real chance.
It's a two-man game.
So
two-team game. Two horse race. That's a better one, right?
Yeah, that's the one it is.
There's two of them.
Two horses could be two other things.
There's two man horses, all right?
Okay, there's two centaurs or minotaurs, whatever you prefer, all right? We're not here to judge.
You've heard this cliche a million times. We're not here to reinvent the wheel or the canister. I'm not sure what you say.
So, but it was entertaining. So, and I loved the memes after it.
It's a perfectly memeable moment.
It was just the with the thumb back at Tata.
And the other guy handshake.
And shout out to Juan Escalante, huge
Nerdwitch
at Nerdwitch on Twitter, who I felt like he really took the meme baton and ran with it. Because he made so many hilarious.
He ran right past those man horses. It was beautiful.
But follow him on Twitter if you're a Rebel fan. If you're not, he's a comic also, really really funny dude. Yeah. A huge Rebels fan. Happened to be the first person to purchase Brisas Empanada at Rebel Arena, because you know how they have empanadas now there.
I didn't know he was the first one.
He was the first one.
Shouts to them for getting empanadas, by the way. Sure. Wow, you're acknowledging the massive fan base we have there. Huh?
No, it's not just brats, bro. Yeah, you're like,
wait a minute, you Latinos don't want schnitzel?
So he made a bunch of great movies, and you gotta check them out. They're all super super funny. All right, so let's move on and talk about what should we talk about? The MLS or U.S. men's national team first?
Let's talk men's national team.
All right. So the rosters for the U.S. men's national team, the two friendlies of between, who is it, Colombia and Peru are coming up. And the rosters.
Also, I mean, we got England and Italy coming up in a month.
That's,
yeah, as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's after. So, okay. These are for these games.
Yes. This is for primarily for Peru, right?
These aren't the rosters forever.
Yeah, no, that's it. We're locked in. I can't wait till these guys are 60 years old.
Taylor Twellman's up front. It's going to be great.
DeMarcus Beasley still there.
Without a doubt. Yeah. He's never quitting. So at US Soccer, USsoccer.com, you can see the full roster, but we have to talk about the new, call-ups that were a little bit shocking, and some of the old call-ups that were
just as shocking
or infuriating.
I never thought I'd see Michael Bradley in there ever again.
I disagree. I thought it would happen.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so Michael Bradley is back with the U.S. men's national team after
a wonderful season with Toronto.
A little hiatus.
He took a nice break.
He took a sabbatical from the U.S. men's national team. He's like, you know what?
But you know what, though? Unlike Landon Donovan, he didn't go to Cambodia. No. He stayed in the league during his sabbatical.
Wait, Landon Donovan went to Cambodia?
Yeah, remember? He took like 6 months off soccer.
Is it Landon Donovan, or are you thinking of Dave Chappelle?
Dave Chappelle went to South Africa.
I don't know where he went. Who knows?
No, remember, you don't remember this?
I don't remember this.
He needed like a mental health break.
Okay.
Landon Donovan, very famously, quit everything.
All right.
Big soccer fan over here. Well, Christian Polanco. As you know, he's only been following the U.S. men's national team very closely recently because he's such a huge Colombian. Big Colombian.
I'm a big old Colombian.
Big old cafetero.
So, I'm going to need a mental health break real soon. Anyway.
Well, you work with me.
So, but look, really, the big surprises here, I think, are an NYCFC player that we did not expect to see on there.
A defender.
Ben Sweat. Congratulations, Ben Sweat.
Guest on this podcast. We nicknamed him
Sweatinho. Okay. And it stuck. I see people tweeting at him. They're like, congratulations, Sweatinho. So thank you for that.
Which is great. Great for him. I mean, this guy was a trialist with NYCFC. I mean, that's huge.
It's
Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Almost unheard of. I mean, this path, you know, like just playing what? Tampa Bay Rowdies were in NASL or USL at the time?
I believe they were NASL.
Okay. And then going, a trialist.
Getting a chance.
He at NYCFC. And not only, so he basically got a better chance once Matarrita got injured.
Right.
He was out for a while. And Ben Sweat owned that left back spot.
Never gave it up.
I really never gave it up. It was tough for Matarrita's now playing like in the midfield because they need to give him some time.
Yeah, and Matarrita at the time, there were rumors of Barcelona being interested in him. I mean, that's how much of a good player Sweat came in and became.
Yeah,
that someone who had all this buzz and all this potential.
So you heard it here first, Ben Sweat. Rumors to Barcelona.
Barcelona Sweatinho. It's
okay,
over.
It's going to be Sweatinho, Paulinho, even though he's not there anymore.
Messinho, all of them.
Okay. So this was a huge shock. I think to specifically NYCFC fans, maybe fans of the league in general may not know too much about Ben Sweat, but he's been, I think he's already had 47 starts for the team, for NYCFC, and loves fishing, right?
Yeah, big Clearwater, Florida, so he's like a freshwater fisherman.
Sure, I don't know. I just imagine him in the Everglades picking up alligators.
Yo, he's like a bear, son. He catches him jumping out the water with his teeth.
But no, he very much owned that position and plays well. But the only thing is, and NYCFC fans have seen it, his 2018 to 2017 have been very different.
Yeah.
Right. I think he scored one goal last year.
I think he scored in the derby.
Yeah. He scored in the derby. I know. I don't know if he got more than one. I think it was only one, but he had a couple assists. He was just I think he made less mistakes last year. And I know the difference is there's a new coach. There's probably a different system in place. So he's just made a couple. Like he got torched by Alexander Katai in Chicago a couple weeks ago.
And he played terribly against Minnesota.
Yeah. He made the mistake. I don't even know he played terribly.
He made both goals.
Well, that's my... He's been not closing down on defenders where they're getting like pretty good crosses in, or he might close down and then slide tackle and then get burned.
That said,
like
we've seen him play much better than he has recently. So I agree with you. I think it's just a change of system.
Yeah, maybe.
Which seems to be affecting the entire team.
we'll get into our NYCFC concerns in a bit. But this was huge. This is huge for him.
Huge.
His first ever call up, and to fans of the U.S. men's national team who have not watched NYCFC games, he is a good left back. He's great on the ball. He's not the fastest. He's not the fastest, but he's evasive and he knows what he places the ball sort of.
He kind of has the feet of a midfielder.
I would argue that as well. Yeah. Very, very, but he's calm on the ball outside of passing to, you know, Minnesota forwards.
Think of the assist he gave Minnesota. You know what I mean? Vision. Okay.
All right. You got to see it's like playing FIFA with that above camera angle, man. Uh-huh.
I don't have that kind of vision. You know, I just see a bunch of jerseys. He knew. He was like, man, if I give the ball to this guy.
Outside of a couple of mistakes, I think he's reliable. And I think, you know, if DeMarcus Beasley ever retires from international soccer,
never going to happen,
which is never going to happen.
Right.
Maybe Ben Sweat will.
Sweat will have to live as long as DeMarcus Beasley to get a chance.
Well, I don't know. I mean, how long has the Crypt Keeper been alive?
Bro, you a Highlander? Bro?
It can only be one Sweat or it can only be one Beasley. I don't know. So it might be a little competitive, but I'm genuinely happy for him. I think that's an amazing opportunity. I hope he gets to play. And I hope he shows well, because when it comes to, just the wingbacks for U.S. soccer, for U.S. Mm-hmm. men's national team, there's not really like definitively like, yo, this is who it's going to be for the next 10 years.
Right, right, right.
I mean, we've seen Anthony Robinson. He's even made some mistakes.
And he's on the roster.
He's on the roster as well. But this might be an interesting look for maybe someone who's a little bit older, not too old, but finally gets an opportunity to really kind of show what he can do and what he can offer to the men's national team.
Right. We also got Reggie Cannon, which is pretty dope.
From
right?
FC Dallas. Yeah, that's cool. FC Dallas homegrown player.
Mm-hmm.
Just another example. Everybody can play the kids. Play the kids, this and that.
We're getting that. I mean, I don't know who Jonathan Amon is.
I don't know.
Amon. He plays for Norwich.
Amon? No.
We got another Bronx player.
Jay Amon is Hamon. I mean,
as far as I'm concerned, my favorite player of all time. Okay.
I don't know where he
plays for Nordsjælland in Denmark.
Okay.
Nordsjælland.
He's also has the same birthday as me, April 30th.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's a day before mine.
All right. So,
already a gift. But give me some hamong right before my birthday.
So, okay, so anything stand out to you? Are you excited about these two particular friendlies? There was more gossip between, because Stu Holden had apparently reported that Jozy Altidore was initially going to be called up, but he did not because he was suffering some injury.
Right.
And he tweeted this, and Jozy Altidore immediately just tweeted right back at him, LOL.
We are in a new era.
Okay.
And I am
so
ready for this.
Get out of here. We don't even need you anymore.
We're trying to make facts.
Facts and get news and what's the story?
What did your sources tell you? Because I got the source right here.
The source right here.
And he's just going to respond by his Twitter. We don't even need us.
He's laughing in Stu Holden's face. Our homie who's been on this show twice.
Stu.
What's going on? What'd you do to Jozy?
Damn, what you gonna stew? What you gonna stew about it?
What are you stewing up there, Stew?
Damn.
So this again, what I saw afterwards was like some people were saying that he is not going to play for the men's national team this time around because of personal reasons and not for because of an injury. So, but Josie, instead of telling people what happened, he would just been like, LOL, I'm just going to laugh in your face because you don't know what you're talking
just
about.
Just kind of giggles, and then he does the thumb thing.
Just give the Chris Armas thumb.
But speaking of forwards, I'm kind of excited to see what Josh Sargent can actually do. Hopefully he gets a little bit more playing time.
Yeah, he's been playing a little bit at Werder Bremen.
Yeah.
They're not doing so great, but they're not doing terribly.
It's kind of Werder Bremen, though.
Werder Bremen, I think they
almost got relegated last year.
They almost did, but they... Yeah. I think they had there was a Bundesliga game where a player threw the ball in to the goalkeeper and the goalkeeper missed it and it went in the net. I think it was against Werder Bremen. I don't remember if it was against Werder Bremen, but I think they ended up losing anyway.
Hilarious.
Are you really that upset about Michael Bradley? Is it? It's almost insulting to see his name there.
No, and I'll explain why. I think, and a lot of people have said this, I'm not the first to say this, I think looking at the last game, it looks like they needed some veteran leadership. So having someone there that presents that, I think is good. The problem I have with it being him is everything we've heard, and it feels like it's kind of confirmed from other players and stuff, is that he's a very sort of alpha male, and he sort of stops... He can sort of hinder the progression of some of the youth players because he is so much of an authoritative type of guy. So if that's the case, maybe it's good to, you know, maybe throw a little bit of throw a shark in the water. That's never been a good idea. That's never once turned out to be good. But maybe it's good to add a little bit of shake it up a little bit. See what these kids can handle, you know, some bigger personalities. Maybe that's a good thing. Hopefully. I don't know.
I mean, we know one person who is not happy about.
Who is that?
Michael Bradley, clearly Jimmy Conrad. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
Remember Jimmy Conrad?
I thought you meant one of the players. I'm like, who?
No. Look, I don't think he is done. Playing for the country. So we'll see. I think he still has something to offer.
What? What does he got to offer? He's done. He's washed.
He's not done career-wise.
Do you think he's going to be a part of the next World Cup cycle?
No.
Then whatever. What, you think a gold cup? He's going to help us win a gold cup?
I mean, I love it. When we raise that trophy, I am not. Nothing makes me prouder to be an American.
/ Colombia, / Dominican.
Obviously, yeah. I'm like one of those people that's like, well, I'm 8th Native American.
Yeah. This is your life. 23andMe readout.
It's all just soccer countries. You're from Andorra. What's their FIFA ranking?
No.
I don't think I'm from there.
I'll respectfully answer once I Google how well they're doing. In the Nations League.
Okay, or am I just going to go in and just rep that hard?
Yeah, no. So, Alexis, you're part Brazilian and German. Right now, I'm mostly French, if I can be real with you.
Okay.
Ole, ole. In other words.
But I disagree. I think he has something to offer. He's not a bad player. He's still a reliable midfielder.
He's not a bad player. For the nation, we need to move on.
Okay. That's fine. All right. You're very cold. You know, somebody slights you once, you're like, this relationship is over.
Yes. No, literally. That's exactly how I am. I write you off. I take your folder.
You didn't put the toothpaste cap on the toothpaste. That's it. It's over.
It's over. How dare you?
How dare you do disrespect me?
You know what this means to me and my family. Ridiculous.
Okay, very just, very short time.
I mean, I am kind of like that, though.
Before we get into... our next segment with our guest, Aaron Dolores. A couple other things we have to talk about.
Yes.
Vancouver Whitecaps fired their coach last week.
Which is, I think, 2 years too late? What do you think?
I mean, according to our friends at Podcaps FC, they've been wanting him gone for about that time.
I think the first time we ever had them on our podcast, they brought up that they wanted him gone. Him and Bolaños, right?
Hurtado. I have zero respect.
I'm sure they want Bolaños.
It's so weird. It's just that Vancouver's just like, they're not the worst team.
No.
But they're not good enough.
You know what it is? That they have good players. They're just not a team. Mm. Even watching the highlights of this game, I'm like, Kai Kamara should be doing that. Why is Alphonso Davies all the way up there with four defenders on him by himself?
Yeah.
There's just so much that seems so not functional.
Yeah. And you never look at the squad and be like, oh, this is like the players are terrible. They don't really have, like, outside of Breck missing sitters, they're usually pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's
which, let's be honest, he's world class at that. You know what I mean?
World class.
Nobody misses sitters better than Breck Shea.
I mean, the blooper reel, it's just like, it's all Breck Shea.
That's his highlight reel.
They're like, why is this always the same guy in two ponytails?
Right. Yeah. Also, why does my highlight reel have Yakety Sax in the background?
He's like, okay. I mean, I wouldn't have chosen it.
No.
I would have taken this in a different direction.
I'm going to let you do your art, but that's not how I would have done it.
But outside of... it's clearly the coaching. It's clearly the tactics, and they've underwhelmed us for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But the fact that... You know, Carl Robinson has been able to like keep the kind of the team afloat, make the playoffs.
But he's also done those late pushes to the playoffs. Like,
yeah, so
here's the thing. If they would have done that again, he wouldn't have been fired.
Yeah, they're currently how many points back? Like six or seven or something like that. They're going to have, I think this was like, first of all, it's kind of crazy to fire your coach with like this being this close to the playoffs and, being this close to the playoffs and like the team is not in like the worst form in the world. Like it just fire them at the end of the season. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like how important is it to make, I guess maybe it is. Maybe it is very, very important to the team to make the playoffs and they wanted to make a statement for maybe the fans and next year and like to renew their season tickets or something like that. And maybe they felt like if we don't make the playoffs with Carl Robinson, we might have an issue with getting more season ticket members the following year. That's the only thing I can think of because they just seemed like it seemed like a rash decision.
It was kind of a banger in or out. You know what I mean? Like we kind of need to make a change to let the fans know that we are not just going to accept mediocrity.
Okay,
that's it.
Okay, well, they will probably continue the mediocrity because they did lose against LA Galaxy
once again
3-0, which is it's not even losing to the LA Galaxy. It's allowing the LA Galaxy to leave you with a donut, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's not their game.
No.
They very much...
They have the highest paid backline, and they're terrible.
they're glad that you will let you in to their net.
In fact, they're like, please don't let us get a clean sheet because then they're going to expect this from us next week. Why don't you go ahead and score?
So we want to keep the standards very low.
Yeah.
And so that was a big surprise that they lost so poorly, but not really that Carl Robinson got fired. It was long overdue, according to our White Caps insiders. They were furious,
and we have many of them.
So a couple other things. RSL, another team that is really fighting to keep their playoff spot. They're in sixth place. They're 2 points ahead of LA Galaxy, and it's looking scarier and scarier week after week. But the reason I wanted to talk about them was because Albert Rusnak got a new deal.
Yes, he did. He held out, too.
He held out. So this is interesting. It was a great story. So Albert Rusnak gets a new contract. He is getting around $2 million per season, according to Stan Stachko of MLSsoccer.com.
Secure the bag.
Secure that bag.
And sometimes you have to not go to work.
Yes.
To secure that
to
bag.
To get paid. Yeah. That's how it's, okay, we do things a little differently out here.
We got, it's a different era now. Okay.
So, I mean, he's really doing the Le'Veon Bell of MLS, which you got to respect the dude for. And Albert Rusnak has been nothing but consistent in his time at RSL. And you have to pay him, right? He's the DP there, and he's probably deserved a bump in pay. So, but the interesting thing was that RSL was playing against Sporting Kansas City this weekend, and apparently Albert Rusnak did not travel with the team to the game. Therefore, he ended up showing up. He's like, "Yo, I'm here.
All right.
Look, we're good, right?"
I took a private jet, which I can afford now because I held out.
So because of the negotiations, he did not travel with the team because I think he was trying to kind of force that hand.
Right.
And he got what he wanted, but he got to he missed training. Therefore, he only got to play a couple minutes during the game. He didn't play the full 90, but the issue is that RSL really needs to win games, and they ended up drawing this game, getting a point, which they desperately needed. The question I'm posing is Rusnak holding out
I mean, they're in sixth place. They're in the playoff.
He hurt his team.
Sure.
By doing this at this particular time, you know, if we're talking about how important it is to make it to the playoffs, this was from as a team, if you're a team guy, this was. Are you a little offended by as a teammate, like that he chose this time to do this?
Yes and no. But who's the dude in the NFL that was holding out for a new contract? And they're like, oh, you're being a bad teammate. You got to go play.
Le'Veon Bell.
And he breaks his leg.
Oh, no, no. That's Earl Thomas. The Seattle Seahawks.
Flips the bird at his team.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, we're in a new era. If he plays in this game during the contract and he
gets hurt.
Yeah, gets hurt. Blows his ankle out. Blows his knee out.
I dare you, Rusnak, flip off my pecky. See what happens to you.
My pecky conference going to be crazy. He's just going to be shirtless. Let's go. Bring him in here. Bring him in here, son.
All right. I'm going to be the first person to spank a designated player on live TV. Yeah.
You think I won't? Why do you think I got this paddle for?
All right. I didn't just walk around with a paddle for no reason. Why, am I crazy?
You think I play cricket, my guy? That's what this is for. It's a spanking paddle. It's about very happy I'm going to get to use it. Trey, fix the breaker.
Trey, get the paddle. Did you hear about Trey? Trey
no.
leaving RSL.
What?
Yeah. I just heard this maybe 2 weeks ago. Trey is, I don't know where he's going.
We need to follow his career forever.
We got to follow Trey and see where he goes. But he's apparently been with the team for a long time. I think almost a decade or maybe longer. And he's moving on. I don't know if he's going to another team or working in another field or something like that, but
Trey, come on. You're an integral part of the team.
What are we going to do with the printer?
I don't want Mike Pecky to be like, Fred, get the printer. That's not working right.
I mean, it just sounds better.
Don't nobody want Fred.
Yo, Fred, the IT guy, is no fun. We don't
get him out of here. He's no Trey.
Trey, only Trey can fix my printer.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you feel that he?
I mean, look, if this was my team, I'd be upset. But looking at it from a player perspective, dude, these guys, I mean, they're getting paid better, but they're still not getting paid as much as I think they should.
Because even the
although $2 million is pretty good. I mean, that's not a bad
even the
contract.
Le'Veon Bell thing. When that happened and his teammates were mad at him, they were mad at him because he like texted them saying like, yeah, I'm going to be there. And he didn't show up. So whatever. So he was like, I mean, but he told me.
But Stacey said that Janet said, I mean, who gives a shit?
But this is a little different. If Le'Veon Bell holds out when the Steelers, they need to win one game to get into the playoffs. Like that changes the dynamic of, I know that as a player, like, as teammates, we're like, yo, you need to get your money. Like, do what you got to do.
Right.
But when you put kind of everybody else's jobs in jeopardy, because MLS is very different. If you don't make the playoffs, there's a way bigger chance you don't even have a job the next season. Right. Yeah. It's not everybody's not making $2 million a year.
Right. The 23rd guy on that bench is like, please show up.
Please. Albert, please. Albert's texting Albert like, yo, I really need you. Like, yo, where you at?
I'm right outside your apartment. I'll drive you. I got you. It's so good if I'm late. I got you.
So I understand because of the money. I honestly.
Well, yo, why isn't this on RSL? Pay the guy.
I mean, they did.
What, in what, the 23rd minute? That's what I'm saying. Like, pay the guy on time. Give him his contract.
Maybe, yeah.
Clearly, he's an integral to the team if you lose without him there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know RSL's money situation, but clearly something's going on.
Pay the man.
Pay the man. He got his money, though. And last thing we wanted to talk about before the next segment. We've been getting a lot of tweets, especially because the Premier League, the inferior soccer league that dares to...
That secondary league.
The secondary league that dares to have a bunch of big events on our soil, which I think is cause for another revolutionary war.
Yeah, I first of all, completely agree. Second of all, I don't think anyone could present any facts otherwise. All right.
I mean, clearly, I mean,
These are all acts of war. All of them.
So, but we were getting a lot of tweets because the Premier League had their, like, event in D.C. with all the fan whatever thing.
And a special appearance was made.
A special appearance. There were a bunch of mascots out there.
Yep.
Okay.
One in particular.
And we were getting tweeted. I mean, so many. Like, it's not even... It's one of those, like, you know how people, like, everybody was calling me and whatever, hit me up. And it was...
Our mentions are blowing up. You got two notifications, bro.
But it was actually a lot. Yeah. Where I'm like, oh, I have to address these concerns to people. Yeah. So Brighton Hove and Albion.
Yeah. Brighton and Hove Albion.
Brighton, I'll call you whatever I want to call you.
BHA. Don't make me say names right now.
Brighton.
With the American coach, Wagner, right?
I don't even know. If
that might be Huddersfield. Never mind.
Okay. I don't know.
Who pays attention to that Little League anyway? Nobody.
Brighton Hove and Albion, which is their crest, has a seagull on
it. Brighton and Hove.
Brighton, what? Hove. All right. I'm doing
Hova. Brighton and Hova.
So they, Brighton and Hove and Albion and Whack ass club. No, but they have a seagull as their crest. I know, Alex.
Yeah, see, I'm right. I need to prove it because it very rarely happens that I'm right about anything.
But the crest has a seagull and
it's just a seagull on it. It's really all it is. It's a blue circle
and
seagull.
And their mascot is also a seagull, old seagull. And guess what his name is?
Guess what they stole from us?
What did they steal from us? They're robbing our culture.
Yeah.
All right. This is why we threw your damn tea overboard. All right. Because of the
cultural appropriation.
Because of this disrespect. Okay. Their mascot name is Gully.
Gully.
Gully the seagull.
People have been asking us, is this the gulliest mascot? By definition, I guess maybe.
I mean, no, I would, no.
Because I mean, he's called Gully.
Gulliest is a lifestyle.
It's a way of life.
Yeah, yes.
It's not a religion. It's more of a way of being. Okay.
Exactly. Sometimes people are concerned. I did a commercial shoot for Heineken the other day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to, because they didn't tell me what wardrobe to wear. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to rock this gulliest shirt up in this Heineken commercial. And
it's going to be official. You know,
then they're going to be like, yo, this commercial's Matt Gully.
Yo, damn. Who's that dude in the background? He gonna rob all that Heineken.
I was in the commercial, being interviewed. And
Shouts for that, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Do you remember? You remember Casey Jost?
Yeah,
Colin Jost's brother.
Yeah.
He was like the host of this commercial, and it was basically like telling stories, like crazy night stories.
Oh, very cool.
Whatever. So I was like, yeah, I'm gonna wear my gulliest shirt, and this commercial is gonna be dope.
Bang bang.
I walk in. The director's like, hey, what does that mean on your shirt? I'm like, just gulliest. It's like, yeah, it's just like a way of life. It's just like a thing.
It's New York, like, you're thing. Fun. You're trying to say whatever.
He's like, it's not a brand or anything, right? I'm like, nah, it's not a brand.
Nah.
I'm like, I'm just trying to end this conversation.
You can buy it in the street.
It's nothing. So we're filming the commercial and everything's going well. And then the director's like, cut. I was like, get him a sweater. I'm like, what? And I have to wear some like sweater on the thing, like a sweater that wasn't even mine.
You come back from the dressing room, you've got the t-shirt over the sweater, you're like, ready to film. Let's go.
So it was a disappointment. So you're not going to be able to see the Gully shirt.
We'll be able to feel it.
But hopefully the commercial comes out and you'll see me in it. But a lot of people were asking, like, I feel like people were almost coming to our defense. Like, hey, do you guys allow this? Do you allow this mascot to just steal basically all your mojo? And to those people who tweeted at us all that stuff, thank you so much for looking out for us. We appreciate
that. Yeah, we love that. Also, show up. Show up, Gully. Come to our face. Let's see how gully you really are.
Let's see how gully really is.
I didn't even realize this. They have a female gully.
What is it? Like,
it's called Boulay? Sally. Maybe Christian pulls up on Sally. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. You know, right? Maybe I barco your Sally.
Right? Maybe Sally walks away from Gully. Let's see how gully you is.
So, holy crap, man. Look, it's fine. It's whatever. What are you going to do? I mean, how can we? It's not our word. It belongs to everybody.
Yeah, the word is part of the world.
And look, Gully, I just hope that Gully lives to his gulliest.
Right.
You know, lives his gulliest life.
Yeah, I want to see him mush other mascots in the face.
That's really what we need.
Right?
I mean, if you're going to be Gully, I mean, that's a big name.
You can't call yourself that and not be Gully.
Without it, that's it. So everybody, you keep Gully on his toes.
Absolutely. And also, let him be Gully, because it just so happens that you and I and our fans are the gulliest.
That's right.
So Go ahead. You could be Gully. Just know who the Gulliest are.
And speaking of that, there was another mascot that I had put up the video on Instagram and Twitter.
Cibao FC.
Cibao FC. My home team.
Bam, 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 bam.
Since day one, been a lifelong supporter since 5 years ago.
As a child.
since they just started existing a couple years ago. But they have a new mascot called Luca Cero Cero, who is a dog. He's a dog that dances merengue with the fans in the crowd during the games. So that's quite gullier than Gully.
That's so much gully. Also, what do English people do? What is he going to go out there and just, I don't know, stare at a guy playing a guitar?
Just Lindy hop? I don't know what they do. I don't think the English can move that well, to be honest. I don't think
all hips are just starting to break. Young boys, old girls. Tim Einenkel, I don't know how to pronounce his name. Our producer just texted and said that you were trying to do what LL Cool J did in the Gap commercial when he rapped wearing FUBU.
That's right.
Yeah.
I am the FUBU of soccer.
You were trying to FUBU a Heineken commercial.
Okay. For Latinos by Latinos.
FUBU.
FUBU.
For the gulliest by the gulliest. FUGBUG.
Last thing officially I want to talk about.
Because we got to get to the end.
We got to get to our next segment. But DC United did play Montreal. And I did want to get to this game because this was a 5-0 drubbing. Very unexpected. Montreal holding on to, again, they are the RSL of the Eastern Conference, trying to hold on to that playoff spot.
Dude, they did not show up at all.
You know what? I actually thought I thought they played pretty well, and Bill Hamid had probably his best game of the season. DC United had just a little bit of luck, and Rooney was just.
Rooney was back to his old self, man.
Rooney
was cutting dudes up.
Dude.
So did Zlatan. There's something in the water this week.
Incredible. These old men. but Zlatan was great. But Rooney, again, we talked about how great Lucho Acosta has been these last few weeks, ever since Rooney arrived.
Ariola with a brace, too.
So the one thing I wanted to highlight about this game, even though DC United are, you know, we were concerned when Rooney got here of how much of an impact he would really make. They're making it to the playoffs, and it's going to probably be NYCFC against DC United in that knockout game.
Oh boy.
Which I think I'm going to favor NYCFC because they just played DC United not too long ago, and they drew, but DC United had what, one shot on goal, two shots on goal. So I think the odds are in NYCFC's favor, but
they're only 2 points away from Montreal for the last spot, but they got two games in hand.
They're making it. I don't see how they're not.
This would suck for Montreal if they don't make it.
It would be the absolute worst, but they shouldn't lose 5-0. If they win this game, they probably kind of secure a playoff spot.
You got to trade Piatti if you don't make it into the playoffs. Don't let him do that again for another year.
All right. What are you going to do? All right. But the one thing I want to highlight about this game was the announcer. I don't know his name, but in this broadcast, there's apparently a new like nickname for these guys.
Lucero.
No. So Lucheroo.
Well, I think he said it that way so that he could say and Rooney too. Lucheroo and Rooney too.
He says Lucheroo and Ariola too.
That's it.
So that's whatever.
First of all, two Ariolas, that's the way it's supposed to be. Okay? Seems very not normal to me.
But then there was an assist from Lucho Acosta to Paul Ariola, and he says Luchola. Which feels like
Benifer, one of those things.
but that Luchola feels like a disease that keeps you in the bathroom. Yeah,
spend all your time waiting. He's just like, do you suffer from Luchola?
It didn't sit well with me, and it needs to stop immediately. We don't need
that's a trash nickname.
We don't need these nicknames.
No.
I don't think that isn't very common. I mean. It's like Stockton Malone. There wasn't like Stockton or whatever. You know, just say both of their names.
Yeah, it wasn't Pip Orden, you know, for Pippen and Jordan.
I mean, but that one.
Or Jippin.
Well, I think that's a slur, I think. No.
First of all, I'm very sorry to anyone I've offended.
to all the, it's a beautiful culture, those people.
Oh, those Jippinese. are good people. I should not have said any of that.
Okay, oh man, we're gonna need a long apology from you. Anyway, okay, so that was my last gripe.
Right.
I want to get to our next segment. We have to talk about.
We have a great interview coming up.
Great guest.
Yes, this is what we do.
Aaron Dolores. of Black Arrow. All right, so we'll be right back right after this.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to The Cooling. Did you have a word from our sponsor, The Gully Squad?
The Gully Squad sponsoring the show.
Yeah, some of you are in it.
Some of you are in it. And thank you so much to everyone who has already joined. We did talk about making more content, making a second episode of The Cooligans per week. And that's what we want to get to. And we can't do that without some of your support. So the way you can support The Cooligans is by joining The Gully Squad. And there's like so many benefits to doing that. But look, you can help contribute content to the show. You can... Or you can get a Cooligans Gully SD.
Yeah, get yourself some merch.
Joining. Also, like if we have live shows in your area, you'll get in them for free. There's different levels.
Yeah.
There's levels.
There's levels to this. All right. And look, we're trying to get out there more. So many people send us messages when you come into our city because we didn't hit you guys during the World Cup comedy tour. We want to come to your cities. We want to do more content. We want to go to some of these big events and bring you guys inside with us and let you see what's happening through social media and whatnot. The way to do that is to get a part of our Gully Squad. Join our Gully Squad. There's so many different levels. Even if you only have a little bit, there's a little bit you could give us.
Exactly.
Every little bit helps.
One thing I did add that I wanted to make sure I mentioned, that the people who do join the Gully Squad at the $10 level, if you want to be a guest and watch the show, you know, like be in the audience. Remember,
of course.
We can have people come watch us record the podcast in our studio in Madison Square Garden.
We got up to 75 seats, so...
So you and 74 of your friends.
Yeah, come through. Everybody gets a plus 74. Let's see what we do.
Maybe we'll be more reasonable with the number of how many people you can invite. Sure.
We might change it up a little bit. But maybe you just want to come hang out while be a live studio audience while we record the show. Ah, come on. Become a part of Gully Squad. You can hang out with us. You get merched. So much fun.
Exactly. So go to soccercooligans.com. You can see the Gully Squad right on the menu and join up today.
Yeah, baby, we're back.
We are back. We are here with our guest.
Come on.
Yo.
There he is. You heard his voice. I mean, we've
Black Arrow in the building.
Absolutely. Black Arrow threw an incredible party in Atlanta. Yep. So thank you for having us. Unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Aaron Dolores of Black Arrow.
What up, what up, what up?
Aaron, what's going on, man? Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. It's an honor.
Thank you. That's what we expect.
To come
from
on
our
the
guests.
Cooligans.
Yes.
Although Total Soccer Show had me first.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, so
we're not
going to
talk about that.
You guys are.
We use them.
Sloppy seconds.
They sort of vet. They vet our guests, and then
that was the USL gotcha. For you. And we saw gotcha. You was good, so we're like, all right, let's bring him up.
All right, we're
going to.
Although Tyler
you.
Didn't show up, so.
Oh really?
I think this is. I think y'all got the real interview.
Were you in Richmond for that?
No, I called in.
Okay,
that don't count then. That don't count.
Don't anybody go to Richmond.
We got you in this.
Yeah,
studio right here.
We flew you in here.
That's right.
We got you out here in
Spirit
Madison.
Airlines.
Yeah. And we asked you to split that cost with us. It's very expensive.
Okay, we need the receipts. We need all the
we
receipts.
Got six layovers. We're gonna make it happen.
Yeah, you're not bringing a bag, are you? Yeah. Not bringing a bag, right?
Not allowed. Don't use that bathroom because we ain't paying that $5.
So, Aaron Dolores, you are the creator of Black Arrow.
For sure.
All right. And for people who do not know, Black Arrow is I feel like it's difficult to just describe it. Is it a media company? Is it a party show?
Party promotion.
Party promotion. It's like, its main focus is to highlight Black culture in soccer.
And also grow it, right? Grow the Black fandom.
Highlight it. And to bring the history forward from everything that kind of came, before us, which is something that I learned when I first got into soccer and started doing a little bit of research, like growing up, in Oakland, I didn't play soccer. I mean, I played when I was younger, but after that, I didn't play at all and I wasn't really into it. I thought it was a Mexican sport.
Yeah.
That was, our kind of perception of it. And then, I started researching it a little bit more and seeing that, Black folks had a long history in soccer that I didn't even know about. So, I would say kind of setting the trend for the future of Black soccer and also making sure that we're bringing those stories forward of, everything that happened before.
Now, it seems to me like you did a great documentary with Copa 90 US about Black soccer, especially in ATL, which I think Atlanta United – The fan base sort of probably has the strongest significance of having like black culture be a part of the team. Correct. Right. And by the way, I know that there's fan bases that are trying to do more. A lot of NYCFC fans want a little bit more hip hop culture as a part of the sort of the makeup of NYCFC. A little difficult because they're very, you know, English. I would say that Atlanta United has that. And also the city itself right now, sort of like the most buzzing hip hop scene, just everything about it seems like black excellence. You know what I mean? Atlanta. What was it for you to see that? Cause everyone assumes you're from Atlanta because of that documentary.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And then you threw a party in Atlanta. So it's like, you're not getting out of Atlanta when you're like,
Hey, right. For sure. Now I'm from Oakland, California.
Yeah.
Oakland. And we're going to talk about when you was talking about E40 a little bit later.
I ain't drinking that energy.
Atlanta, black culture is Atlanta. So, you know, when you go to a restaurant, you go to a bar, it's just, it's ingrained in the city. You can't really go, you know, you can't do anything without it. So I think that is naturally spilling over to the team. Obviously, I think it's an exciting time for American soccer, right? Because they're winning, they're integrating the culture, the hip hop artists are showing up. They're killing it right now. They're number one.
Freeway just did that promo for Philadelphia Union, even though they lost in the U.S. Open Cup final. But that was a cool thing to see. But it's strange because it feels like, because just a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the Philadelphia Union and why there isn't this bigger effort to connect with like Philly rappers.
Well, it started with Lil Uzi Vert wore the Club America,
shirt.
And I was like, you can't go back in time. I'm like, but here's a Philly artist.
Right.
And he's wearing this shirt I get it. It's a much brighter shirt. It fits his style, but why isn't there an opportunity? Why can't Philly make a one-off?
Right.
You know what I mean? Do something funky for Lil Uzi Vert. Give him something. You know what I mean? When we were at the Secret Walls Adidas MLS event, Young MA performed, and Red Bulls gave her a jersey, Red Life. You know, she's only going to wear that one. She's probably not going to wear the blue one.
It might cause a little bit of issues with her compatriots.
Yeah, her conglomerate might be a little bit upset. But they gave her a jersey. Like, these are things that I feel like we kind of need to be seeing more of.
What I wanted to credit you with is that I think that with what you're doing, the soccer community is so small that even just anybody being like trying to big up any particular part of it, people see it almost immediately. And I feel like the influence is already there.
For sure.
Where like, I'm not going to say like that the Freeway thing doesn't happen or that 2 Chainz in Atlanta doesn't happen without like your effort or with what you're doing, but it doesn't hurt either. You know what I mean? Like just
it amplifies it
and stuff like that in that
for
way.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we just launched it a year ago, so it's been a hell of a ride. And my thing was, because I wasn't into soccer before, and prior to starting this brand, when I really started looking at the soccer community in the U.S., you know, my thing was, why don't I just create it? Right. It's not up to the MLS or San Jose Earthquake or Philadelphia Union necessarily to kick off hip hop culture in soccer. Right. There's so much opportunity in soccer specifically to create off the field that my thing is like, rather than complain about it, I'm just going to start it and then give the soccer community and the MLS and whoever something to connect into. Right. Cause they're not going to initiate it. They're running a league. They're doing a lot of other things. And, so I think that's kind of the beautiful thing. I mean, I've noticed a lot of,
it'd be dope if it was just like Summer Jam sponsored by Major League Soccer. Yeah. We're getting in this dog. What
Here's
you know?
Fat Joe in a NYCFC jersey.
Why not?
What is your goal? What is the goal of Black Arrow? Like, if you could look back in 5 years and you would say like these 3 things you could tick off and you were successful, what are those 3 things? Cause I think that's a big question people have is like, all right, I see what you're doing, but like, what is actually happening? What is the goal of Black Arrow?
Right. So, it kind of happens on a few different levels. And I think anytime you are creating something that is of your culture, there's a lot of different levels to like the way that you think about it, right? There's What's important to Black people as far as like our community and our culture and stuff like that. There's the culture element, which is the hip hop and, you know, all that stuff. And then, of course, in soccer, everybody wants to know about the development of soccer players and getting more Black kids kind of into it. So we're staying in this lane of this like, quote unquote, cool kids soccer angle because you know, when you look at the landscape, that's really what's missing right now.
Yeah.
And so if you want little Black kids to play soccer, it's got to be, they got to want to do it.
Yeah.
It's a culture war more than it is like training them, right? You know, that's why in Brazil or whatever, these guys are, you know, by the time they can even see what's happening, they want to play soccer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I think that's kind of the first thing. And then, you know, the second thing is, what tripped me out about soccer was the way that I got into the sport was in 2014, me and my homies, instead of going to Brazil, we went to Europe during the World Cup. And the idea was like, you know, that was going to be just a tourist trap or whatever. So we touched down, we went to four different countries. We went to Croatia, Germany, Italy, and Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And we kind of put together a trip that we made sure when we were in every country, that country had a game happening so we could be on the streets with, you know, the fans. So we touched down in Croatia in this town called Pula, which is right on the water, right across the water from Italy.
Italy, yeah.
And they have a Roman Colosseum. It's like one of the most intact Roman Colosseums still, right?
Yeah.
An ancient Roman Colosseum. So we're hanging out, partying, whatever. The night before the match, and Croatia's opening up the World Cup against Brazil in 2014.
Yep.
The mayor decides that they're going to show the game in this Roman Colosseum right on the water, whatever. So, you know, day of game, 10,000 people, you know, roll into this, you know, ancient Colosseum.
In robes, waiting to see gladiators
fight. Thumbs down.
For real. Yeah,
lions
exactly.
Eating
gladiators. Yeah, I'm like, am I part of the show? Yeah, yeah. What's going to happen?
He's just like, everyone act cool. Before.
No, but then that was... you know, and Croatia scored first.
Yeah.
Flares are going off, you know. So that was like my moment where I'm like, holy shit. Like as an American, I'm like, I was wrong about soccer all along because the history and the culture and the intensity was just so present like in that moment.
Yeah.
That I was like, you know. And then we went on to Berlin. We watched the game at, you know, Brandenburg Gate, 100,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, we stopped in Italy. We were in Switzerland. In Switzerland, you know, they were just like the Colombians were out there. You know, so that was kind of like my entrance into the culture of
soccer.
That
was your baptism.
That was my baptism, right? And then, you know, I didn't really move on it. And then, you know, just a year and a half ago, kind of conceived this idea of starting Black Arrow. So long story short, for me, it was like I was a little bit shitty that this whole world of soccer existed and I didn't know about it, you know? And
trust me, we were mad at you.
Yeah. Furious. almost didn't have you on the show.
But then also everything that once you start peeling the surfaces of soccer, everything that you learn about the world,
yeah,
from culture to history to, you know, Colombia or Venezuela or the Dominican Republic, just like, as you follow any lead in soccer, it's going to open up so much more information. So
absolutely.
My main goal, and it's not really to necessarily get kids to play or whatever. My main goal is to kind of set, you know, Black folks or whoever on that path to kind of discover, you know, what I discovered.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, cause it's like, I want to take them on that ride with me.
What was, you know, one thing I really enjoy is, your Instagram, and you do a lot of Instagram stories and you do this, cool thing where you legitimately tell stories in your Instagram story
and you layer it too.
And you layer it. And it's very, very well done. It feels like, these easily digestible documentaries, but it's more about you learning things. Right.
Yeah.
And, I can't, specifically remember one that I enjoyed. Obviously they disappear after 24 hours, but is there one in particular? Cause there was one that you did during the World Cup. It might've been about Panama. I don't remember specifically. But is there, when you do those, is there anyone that particularly stands out where you were like, oh man, I didn't know this about soccer or Black culture in soccer.
For sure.
And it really stood out to me.
So I'll tell you two quick stories. So, the name Black Arrow, do you guys know where that came from?
It's the old player. There was a Black player named Black Arrow in, is it England?
Close. So,
Scotland.
Gil Scott-Heron's father was a professional soccer player.
Yeah.
He came from Jamaica,
right,
landed in Detroit and gave birth to Gil Scott-Heron. Gil Scott-Heron, obviously the godfather of hip hop.
Right.
You know, and he ended up getting scouted by the Celtics.
Right.
He became the first black player to play for them. And this is in like the 1940s or whatever. So you
way
can imagine, you know, a black dude playing
the golden age
in Scotland.
It must have been so easy for him.
So fun to just.
It's a real breeze. Hey, come on. Welcome into the 18.
Yeah. You know how the Scottish are. Just welcoming black people since 1940.
No, but it's funny. So the name comes, the fans had nicknamed him the Black Arrow because he was fast, I think that's hilarious. But it's an interesting story because when you research the team, then you see that they have a long history of, you know, being very liberal and kind of promoting diversity and stuff like that, right? From someone looking from the outside, if you're thinking of, you know, a team, whatever, in Scotland, you're kind of like, you know, but then you think of a team, an organization that was maybe way ahead of its time, in doing something like that. So
was he the first black player in Scottish Premier League?
He wasn't, but to play for that team,
which was a massive team. I mean, Celtic and Rangers always huge. So that's a big, big deal for sure.
Yeah. So we always kind of, you know, I feel like our history is a little bit connected to theirs.
Right.
So we use their colors sometime. And, you know, Gil Scott-Heron's granddaughter reached out to me and said, you know, I love what you're doing. You know, my grandfather would be proud. So, you know, those are some of the things that, you know, have happened since starting the brand that really are important to me as, you know, a black person, to be able to like connect to the history, like literally, you know, and to influence it. I would say the second thing is, you know, our trip to Colombia, which is maybe you saw on the Instagram story. So for folks that don't know, during the World Cup,
you went to visit Christian's family.
Went to Colombia. Visit thank part you. Of his family.
Yeah, that kind of you. Thank you for bringing all those great gifts.
We sold travel packages for folks to come to Colombia during the World Cup. And it was an ode to, you know, the trip that got me into soccer, during the 2014 World Cup. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of the idea was, you know, you bring black folks into Colombia during the World Cup. We're in Cartagena, where, you know, the Afro-Colombian community is based. And it all kind of, you bring them up to speed so much more quicker.
For sure.
They're watching the games everywhere. People are going nuts. You're seeing actual black people watching soccer. You know, that was amazing for me to learn about Afro-Colombian culture and history, and just one of the many things that I think that we've done to, I think connect the diaspora and also just highlight, just how dope soccer is culturally.
How do you feel about, that is amazing in itself, especially mentioning like connecting the black diaspora, right? Because what is it like for you being like an African-American male, mm-hmm, being in these countries where they're also black people,
right?
But I presume you do not speak Spanish very well.
The culture is extremely
different.
African-American is a specific culture that's very different from a Afro-Cuban or like my grandmother, or like an Afro-Colombian like Christian.
Because this is a thing, you know, growing up and being Dominican, growing up in New York, there's a little bit of a disconnect to that black diaspora, right? Where I even know, like, my family, they might be my skin color, maybe even a little bit darker, mm-hmm, but they would see like a black American and be like, oh, we're not like them.
Right.
And
the we're not black, we're Dominican is like a, almost like a trope.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that it is a very like Latinos don't want to consider themselves black,
right,
and every, you know, people fall in wherever they want to fall. I'm not going to argue with people about that.
Right.
But what is it like sort of trying to bridge that gap, and how are you received when you're there?
I mean, I think you just kind of, you know, hit the nail on the head as far as why this is so important. And I think through soccer, you can grab people's attention to teach those, you know, those type of things.
Yeah.
But it's not that complicated, right? So the slaves, you know, they came out west, Or we're brought out west.
Yeah, came as a bit adventurous. Yeah.
You know, and we're brought out
he's
west.
Explorers.
We Google mapped it. And we're like, what's going on over there? Maybe we should find out. Free boat trip? Sure.
How? Yeah, yeah. Nah, so, you know, they were, you know, they land the slave ships landed in Colombia.
Everywhere.
They landed in Panama. They landed in the Caribbean, the DR. So I think that we kind of overcomplicate that, and I hope towards, like, as a society, we are learning more about kind of the history and how we are all, you know, connected for the diaspora, you know, specifically. Like, I ask people all the time, like, is Pele black? And they'll be like, nah, he's Brazilian. I'm like, he's as black as this microphone.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
And so, like, how, you know, I don't want to say brainwashed, but how miseducated are we that we could look at someone that is black as tar and say he's not black?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's also because I think the first culture that I think became the first black culture that became like hugely popular was specifically almost like a New York black culture with like the explosion of hip hop and African American culture, like on TV in the 70s and all that, which is all, you know, America first to media. So the rest of the world got to see what black culture was like almost through an American, African American culture of filter. And it's so different. And I think it's something that's becoming so big right now. Speaking specifically of British black culture is really its own thing.
Yeah.
Like even grime artists are like, we're not rappers, we're grime artists. And you're like, well, dog, you're just rapping faster. Twista is a
over
grime
a
artist.
Weird beat.
Yeah. Slow that beat down a little bit, bro. You know what I mean?
You got some place to be? Why are you going so fast?
Why are you repeating yourself so much, bro? We heard you the first 18 times. But like, you look at like British black culture, you look at Jamaican culture, which is sort of like the base of all of this. Jamaicans in New York were the ones who invented hip hop and those types of parties.
Right.
And then you got Jamaican black culture in Britain. And now recently, what's the dude's name from Ale Ale, the France song?
Veja Dream.
Thank God you said that. All right. So that guy, like the black French artist who's like sort of a black, it's a hip hop, right?
Yeah, it's hip hop. Yeah, it's like Future. He's like Future.
Okay, so like Trap, we got Trap out in France. Very nice. Out of the suburbs, right? So we get that. Like all these cultures are so different, but one of the things they do is they all highlight sort of what happened when people were forced to go to some of those countries and they would now live there. Or in some of the cases in Europe, it's more of a migration issue an immigration issue. But it sort of creates like this beautiful cultures all around. The base of it is the fact that they're all black, but they're all so different. Are you finding that, is that inspiring to see those things? Does it make it your job easier to see grime being interjected into soccer? Or does it make it more difficult to explain everything to say someone from Oakland who's like, who? I don't know who Skepta is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. No, I mean, this is an amazing part of the journey, you know, which is for me to discover the diaspora. And it's not as different as you think, right? It comes in a different form or whatever. But when I see a black dude in Colombia or I see a black dude in London or in Nigeria, you know, it's we're much more, you know, similar than we are different. So I think the first thing is, you know, we might speak. You know, and until I went to Colombia, I never really wanted to speak Spanish that badly. And then when I was, there was other black folks that I couldn't communicate with, I was like, shit, maybe I should learn Spanish. But, you know, like I said, I think we complicated it a lot. And, I think it's a very interesting time because through technology, the diaspora is starting to kind of find one another and you're seeing those influences with, the hip hop guys using the dance hall stuff. And then in London, they're, you know, pulling from our hip hop stuff. And then, you know, the reggaeton, you know, reggaeton started in Panama, you know, because they were bringing black folks from the Caribbean to help build the Panama Canal.
Right.
And they were bringing that island vibe. And then when they localized the music in Spanish, that's what, you know, spread it to the rest of, you know, Spanish speaking world. So
just real quick for all of our Puerto Rican listeners, don't listen to anything he said. You guys are
don't tell him that. That came from Panama. That's ours.
I never came from Panama. I came from the Caribbean.
I think
was invented in the Bronx.
I think it's an interesting time because, you know, through soccer, we can kind of get the eyes and the ears. You know, soccer is the biggest sport for black people when you look at it globally.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Right. Which is something that might be news to us in America. And, you know, I think that that's a big part of the brand, which is connecting the diaspora.
So so speaking of Panama, you were recently there for the World Cup. Panama did make their first World Cup ever.
Yep.
And you made a mini documentary about it. And you know, so we'll do what they do on TV shows. We're gonna roll the clip.
We're gonna cut to the clip.
Yeah. So let's play a clip from the documentary, and then we'll talk about it.
And if you check out our YouTube channel, if you want to see the clip as well.
We're here watching Mexico versus Germany. Mexico's up 1-0. I just want to say, like, I feel so lucky and fortunate to be invited into this house, into this community, to connect in with them at this time. It's just a big time for the country. And as an American, we're here to celebrate with the Panamanians. I think it's really important for soccer fans to realize that some of these players that are playing in the United States are leaving back here a family and a community that really relies on them. When you see these guys playing on the field, remember that they're not just soccer players, they're not just athletes. These guys were born in the barrios, and what they mean to the community, you can't really put words to how important it is.
You went to Panama.
Yep.
And I saw the film. Mm-hmm. And it was a so specifically you went to Panama and you were wearing a Red Bull jersey and you were kind of highlighting the Panamanian players from Major League Soccer.
Yep.
That did make it and played in the World Cup. What was the experience like? I mean, watching the video, it felt very it really captured how incredibly important it was for Panama to make the World Cup. And for me, I there were two things, because it reminded me very much of like Dominican Republic and mm-hmm. seeing how like my family grew up.
Right.
And you're seeing, like, you know, we think of soccer players and we think of millionaires and all this other stuff. MLS players probably don't make money like that.
Right.
But you really still see that the players' families are not really living this lavish lifestyle.
Yeah, you weren't in a mansion at all.
No. Yeah.
Not at all. Yeah. I stayed in a pretty nice hotel.
Yeah. They got some dope stuff out there.
Yeah, we stopped off in Panama, myself and some of my homies, before the Colombia trip started. And, you know, when I found out that there was six players in the MLS that all play for the Panamanian national team, I hit up the MLS and was like, yo, can you get me these jerseys? I'm going to go down. And kind of was, you know, the idea was to you know, connect in with the Panamanians and kind of bring, you know, show our respect to them, since the U.S. wasn't in it, as a way to learn about how a country, you know, experiences their first ever World Cup.
Yeah. Right?
You know, however long the World Cup's been around, 80, 90 years, this was their first ever World Cup. So we thought it would be cool to be in Panama City to see how people were experiencing that. And you'll see in the video, what I did was I signed up for two hood tours.
Nice.
I found these tours online that literally take you to, like, the barrios.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That,
right. Shouts to the gulliest tour guide.
It was the gulliest. Gulliest tour.
We everywhere, son.
And,
that was sort of, I went to Brazil a couple of years ago and we met a cab driver who spoke English, mm-hmm. and he took us to favelas. And right. That was like that's the only place I wanted to be. I wanted to go and see what it was really like. And everybody was like, don't you dare.
Guns in the street.
You'll never make it out alive.
For sure.
But he was like, no, I'll take you. And we took us to like this like warehouse where there was like a huge party. And it was like, I was like, I got to experience actual Rio de Janeiro, not just all the beaches and stuff.
Yeah. And that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. So
you see the real culture.
You see the real culture. So, on one of the tours, the tour guy was like, yo, do you want to go to Fidel Escobar's house from the Red Bull? Right. And I was wearing his jersey. And I was like, hell yeah. We kind of walked up, you know, big kind of project building looking thing. His whole family's there. You know, the whole family, the family on the family on the family.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the day before they're playing in, you know, their first ever World Cup game against Belgium, which was, you know, a body bag, but. That's how it goes. His family invited us in to just meet them. You know, I got my hair cut in front of the house. They were out there, you know, chopping hair. And I met his mother. I met his son. I still haven't even met him. But, I think the takeaway for me was to, and some of the stuff that I hope that we can bring with Black Arrow is to kind of show these us fans in America, when you're yelling and screaming at these dudes because, you know, they missed a kick or something.
Right.
Like, you know, a lot of these guys come from nothing. You know what I mean? And you can't bring your whole family just because you play from the MLS doesn't mean you can just bring your whole family out here. Right. And also, like, if you were to imagine if, you know, you're from Panama, you're living in the street, you're living in the hood or whatever, like, why would you want to bring your whole family here when, you know, you guys are from this neighborhood and all your extended relatives and like, that's where you guys grew up.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope to kind of get that message across to humanize these guys a little bit so that we're not seeing them just as, you know, soccer players, and to understand like what they're going through.
You know? Like, for sure.
His son was sitting right in there.
Yeah.
You know, his mom and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like there's, you know, with them on the road and in these hotel rooms. So, you know, I realized really early on when starting Black Arrow, like, often I feel like for a lot of the Black players that get a lot of heat and, you know, people yelling and screaming at them, like, often people don't think about where these guys come from and that they come from rich cultures. If you can kind of research and understand these cultures, I think you'll, you know, be able to understand these folks better. And humanize them a little bit. Obviously,
sure.
They're humans. What the hell is
wrong? There's so many like parallels. Like, I think about my family. Like, my grandparents, they're in their 90s, mm-hmm. and my mom is always worrying about them, and like has always thought about either bringing them here or moving them to like a nicer place,
right.
in Dominican Republic, and they're like, no. Yeah. We're not leaving. By American standards, it's horrible. Everything is bad. There's no hot water. They're stroke, but they're like, no, we're not going
to
leave.
That was, it's similar to my grandmother and grandfather when they had to leave Cuba. You know, they went to Newark, they picked Newark. And they were like, this seems like a nice place. And they were wrong. But, you know, as everyone got older, my mother and my aunt, my uncle, they were like, well, you guys can move to a different neighborhood. And my grandmother was like, why? I get the bus right there and I go get the Spanish food I like at the store, and there's other Latinos here. Like, why would I ever move here? And the rest of us were like, should we not pack our bags? Should we unpack?
The thing you mentioned about the players, like, and screaming at them, I don't know if you saw this. The game between Rebels and Atlanta United. Remember we were talking about Gaynor McCann last week, Chris McCann's wife.
Yes.
Who is very vocal on Twitter. And she
claps back for her man.
She definitely did that. And he had the penalty call because he had the handball. And she was apparently at a bar watching the game when her husband was not having the best game. And she was with, I think she has a son or maybe one or two kids or something like that. And everybody was like seriously shitting on Chris McCann.
Yeah.
And she put on Twitter, she was like, last time I ever go to a bar to watch a game, because everybody was just, you know, being disrespectful towards, like, I'm clearly his wife. Maybe you can tone it down.
Right.
about that. But she had like a kind of bunch of arguments with people on Twitter, and then she ended up deleting her account.
Oh man!
So which is a shame.
R.I.P. to the gulliest wag.
Yeah, we were giving you props. Come back to Twitter, man.
Or come on our show.
the wife and the kid are on before Chris McCann is.
Yeah, for sure.
But it is about humanizing the player. I understand.
It happens to me all the time. I yell at, you know, the players all the time, and I very.
I thought you were gonna say I yell at the players' wives.
Yeah. Get out of the way. Get this kid out of this bar. No, but you know you do it, and you very rarely think about, like, where they're from, or that the fact that they're playing to put food on the table of, like, you know, 18 people in a small house in Panama. You very rarely think of that, you know?
We did an interview that's going to come out in a few weeks. We sat down with Romario Williams, who's plays for Atlanta United, and he's Jamaican.
Yeah.
And he, you know,
said Romario.
Romario.
Very Jamaican. Right?
You know, he was telling us when he first came to when he first started playing professionally, he was playing up in Canada. It was cold as hell.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's from Jamaica. He's, you know, was playing in South Florida before that. And he was like, that was very hard to, you know, it's like cool run-ins. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to adjust. And you might not be thinking about that when you're just watching the game. But, you know, this dude is away from his whole family. He's cold as hell.
Right.
You know, it's a different environment.
Sure.
You know?
He's like, why are we playing in shorts? Whose idea was this? Get me a parka.
Now I think about it, the title of the movie, Cool Runnings, would be better for a Jamaican soccer team playing in Canada than
a bobsled team. Doesn't even make any cool running soccer.
I'm sure there's a neighborhood I don't know about in Toronto that's just filled with Jamaicans. Let's get there it. Is. Let's figure this out. We got a second. We got a new cool runnings too.
So, Aaron, thank you so much for being on the show, man.
Now, the video is coming out while people are hearing this.
Yeah, it's out right now.
So go to which YouTube channel?
Black Arrow FC.
Black Arrow FC. And where do people? Where can people follow you on Twitter and Instagram and all that?
Everything is Black Arrow FC. Instagram is Black Arrow underscore FC. Everything else is at Black Arrow FC. You'll find us.
Yeah, and like Alexis mentioned earlier, the party that we went to. I mean, there's more. There's content, but there's also dope ass parties. If Black Arrow is throwing a party in your area,
you need to be.
You
there.
Need to be.
Which
there.
We got one coming up, right?
Yeah, this watch Sunday party. We're doing a watch party for Man City Liverpool right here in New York.
Okay,
so an opportunity.
Where's it at? And what time?
It's at Rise New York,
which is third and what?
Which is third in Third Ave. Murray Hill.
Okay.
So starts at 11. We're going to have brunch, play some music, watch the game, just kick it, you know?
All right. Yeah. So come out. We're going to be there. I'm going to be there. Are you going to be there?
I'll most likely be there.
Okay.
He's not going to be there.
Most likely. Hey, what is that? 23rd and 3rd and 30th. There you go. Between 30th and 29th.
Okay. Not far from where we are right now.
Yeah. Not at all.
So Aaron Dolores at Black Arrow FC, at Black Arrow underscore FC on Instagram. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We'll do a little outro. You've seen the show before, so you know how it works.
Yeah.
So my name for Aaron Dolores. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans.